in the studio, I've got the Deputy Chairperson of the Raglan Community Board, Dennis Amor. Good morning, Dennis.
Morning, Aaron.
So we're here to talk about primarily what's happening down at the wharf. Dennis is the board member who's got most to do with that. And should we remind people of the big picture of the wharf project? How we got to where we are, really, just briefly.
Yeah, I guess it was a project that came out of from MBIE, Ministry of Business Innovation and
Employment?
Enterprise.
One of those.
During COVID, where there was money available, and also Shane Jones, when he had a whole bucket load of money from the government to give away. And that
the Provincial Growth Funds.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they came back to council and said, have you got any projects you'd like to initiate? And that's when the wharf one started to be discussed, as what could be done around there and providing better connectivity around the harbour and that sort of thing. And that's where it's all sort of stemmed from.
So if you see people anywhere moaning about council wasting ratepayers' money, folks, listeners, you correct them. Because I have seen that still, you know, a couple of years into it.
Yeah, there is a small percentage, 10% I think it was, that's got to be provided by the council, but the bulk of the money is coming from the government through MBIE.
Right, okay. So there are various things. I think the thing that people, or various aspects to it, the thing that people probably noticed the most was the big boards that were up in town, the panels, asking people what they thought about the walkway going past the silos down to the wharf instead of steps. So where's that project at now?
So basically that part of it was actually aimed at the boardwalk. And what people's thoughts were. We got a reasonable response, actually, both online and in the hard copies, and also to the workshop that we had, the Wharf Kitchen, as to what people preferred. And that's designs now been, there's ideas have now been taken away by Becker and put into a design. And they favoured the design where we had the steps down to the water that were closer to the wharf end rather than to the existing boardwalk end.
Okay. So they're the consultants, are they preparing drawings to put it out to tender? Is that where they're at?
Yeah, as far as the tender's concerned, basically the four or three parts of the project, the structure works, the walkway and the pontoon, have been put together as one package of work now.
Oh, okay, right.
We had envisaged them being done separately, but there's some synergies that would give us better cost benefits if we group the whole lot together.
Yes.
So basically, Beckers have done the design and they've gone out to tender, and tender's actually closed, I think it is the first week of May.
Okay.
So that's not very far away. And then tender award will be towards the end of June.
Okay, and then after that, we all know the construction industry is swamped at the moment, so...
Well, I guess it'll be...
No one's making any promises about a date construction start right now.
Well, the tender requirements are that they'll give dates when construction will start and construction will finish.
Okay, so can the tender be chosen based on the dates, or is it primarily cost?
Well, like most tenders, it'll probably be primarily cost.
Yeah.
And there's still some concerns there about the affordability of the project, obviously, until we get the finer tender pricing in.
Well, yeah, because that's an issue too at the moment, the construction industry.
Yeah, we're seeing huge on-run of costs in various industries. We're seeing in the building industry people not giving firm prices for houses, things like that. How much that'll impact this project, I'm not sure at the moment.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned two other aspects that'll be going with it in the construction. There's the pontoon, so that the pontoon location size has all been decided at this point?
Yes, yeah, the pontoon will go in roughly the location that was originally mooted, although it will be moved for cost reasons. It'll cost savings basically move slightly closer to the wharf. So the existing slipway that's there will be moved, uprooted and moved closer to the existing ramp, but it'll still be 7-odd metres from the ramp towards Cox's Bay.
Okay.
And then the pontoon walkway will go out on the Cox's Bay side of that, and right out to basically where the deep water starts.
So if you're standing with your back to the entryway to the fish and chip shop, you'll see it out there somewhere. Is that
correct?
I'm trying to think of an easy way to describe it. And what's the difference between the slipway and the ramp?
Well, the ramp is where the boats are launched off the trailer.
Yeah,
that slipway is basically where boats have been moored to to do any anti-fouling work, or, well, they don't do that anymore because of environmental reasons, but for any maintenance work and things like that.
Oh, so that's sort of up from the
ramp. Where the poles were.
Oh, okay, yep, all right. Just try to...
Or still are, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, get people to picture that. Okay, so... And so that's... So we've got the pontoon, the walkway, and what was the third?
The structural works.
To the piles.
Yeah, so the structural work will start virtually straight away. The pontoon and the walkway, even though the tender will be let, the pontoon and walkway will still be subject to resource consent or the consent process.
Yeah.
Consents have been, all the documentation's been drawn up, and consents have been, should have been filed this week to regional council. But it'll come back to whether they're notifiable or non-notifiable and those sorts of things.
So they could extend the process quite a bit, couldn't it?
Well, it could extend the starting of the pontoon and the walkway to September.
Right.
But we're pretty confident the structural works will start sometime late July.
Okay. And so the structural work on the piles, like how do you repair the piles when they're in seawater? Do we know? I know you're not an expert, but generally, I'm just wondering, right? What on earth happens in an environment like that?
Yeah, I can't really comment, Aaron. I know I have seen where they've been wrapped and that sort of thing in the past, but yeah, I'm not sure what's proposed by the tenderers on this one. That'll come out as part of the tender process.
It's not like repiling a house where you lift it up and pull the old ones out and put the new ones in.
No, the piles won't be removed, is my understanding.
Yeah.
They'll just be remedial works done to them.
Okay. And there was some railing work was going to happen as well, I believe?
Yeah, there's several safety aspects that'll be carried out as part of this. So there'll be a railing around part of the wharf.
Yeah.
Won't go all the way along the front of the wharf.
This is where the boats have got to unload.
Yeah,
the
boats have still got to unload and that sort of thing. But there will be some new railing go around where the fish and chip shop is, basically, around that corner, which is probably the highest traffic area on the wharf at the present time.
Yeah. Okay, and is there a timeline on that? Or
part of the one project.
Right, okay, one big project.
Everything's been put into the one project.
Okay, all right. What happens if it comes back and it's exceedingly high? Change the scope, I guess.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of options there, I guess. One is we can do a value engineering exercise and look at the design that we've used, the materials we used, and say, can we use something cheaper? Maybe instead of using, I don't know, if they suggest stainless steel, do you then look at using aluminium or galvanised steel for railings? Do you sort of scale back the walk steps down to the water and things like that? Or alternatively, you can just scale back part of the project. And look at it as a stage two where the funding has to be raised in the future.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. That's just the reality of these sorts of things, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's been some surprises with the geotech, particularly around the Dolphin area, where they found that the soil there or the ground under the water is a lot softer than in most of the other areas.
Okay.
Which has mean they've had to relook at the design there and bridge probably from the end of the walkway across to the Dolphin, which obviously will impact on the cost. So there's a few challenges like that they've had to work through in the design, which possibly have the potential of impacting on the cost and viability of the complete project.
I remember someone saying a while ago that there was a device on the Dolphin that was being used to measure sea level rise from regional council. And I'm thinking, you probably don't. There's a memory in my head of this discussion, and I'm just thinking, if the ground's not 100% solid under that, it may not work very well. That was all I was thinking.
I don't know. I don't know whether there is something there. I know there was a weather monitor there at one stage.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about anything for sea level rise.
Yeah, okay. All right. You've also been involved with Places for People, which is the parklets that we're seeing out here in the main street, and they're here to stay, are they?
Yeah, we did a survey, which wound up, must have been about the end of March, and that's come out very much in favour of the parklets staying.
Yeah.
You've caught me on the hop, so I haven't got the figures with me, but it would be in the order of sort of 70% were in favour of them staying.
Yep.
There was sort of a small number that weren't sure, and then there was a small number that were against them. But overwhelming for them to stay. A few suggestions made about putting shade over the top of them and various things like that.
Which is a good one.
Which it is. Yeah. I think it's an excellent idea, particularly with the hot summer that we've just had, which will possibly be looked at by the probably have to be taken up by the community board going forward. It's not, won't be part of the Places for People project, yeah, because all the funding for that's now been either returned or used,
okay,
that sort of thing on that project. So they, we do have to go through a process. I think it's a public bylaw change to remove the four car parks that were impacted, or three car parks that were impacted.
Okay.
So there's a little process to go through there to, before they become, you know, set in concrete.
Okay. Will they literally be set in concrete?
No, they'll stay as
they are. Okay. But they, yeah, they're, yeah, they're, it's much of a muchness, really. They're there and they're staying there. Is there, is the community board interested in further development of Bow Street along those lines of creating spots just for people to hang out and enjoy the town?
Oh, I think if that's what the public wanted,
yeah,
then, yeah, the community board would certainly be interested in those sorts of things going forward in conjunction with council. But it's just getting that positive feedback from the community, say, hey, guys, we love these things. What else can we do in different areas around town?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, and as I'm sure you've found over the last few years, there's always different opinions. There's always a variety of opinions, and we seem to have, not everyone will be happy whatever decision is made.
Yeah, it can be. Well, I guess that's the thing I've found in the last two and a half years on the community board, that it can, small things can become quite divisive, and it's a matter of sort of working out what the sort of groundswell is, and whether, you know, whether it's in support or against, yeah, and making sure that you're listening to the majority of the people, not just a small group that are saying no.
Yeah, yeah. Is that challenging? Like, you know, government has money to go out and consult or do surveys, conduct surveys and that, but a community board doesn't really have that capacity. How does it work for you guys?
Well, I guess if you look at both the Wharf Project and Places for People project, we've actually gone out actively online and in, yeah, with hard copies, and by bailing people up in the street and saying, hey, give us your feedback.
Yeah.
But even so, the amount of feedback you get is still low in terms of the number of people that live in Raglan. You know, if you're getting 100 to 150 people giving you feedback, I think you've done well.
Yeah.
I guess with the food waste thing, we're seeing a lot higher numbers of that, which is really, really good, because,
yeah,
then you're starting to get a feel for what the community as a whole really want.
Have the staff at council said how many, what the number of submissions were on that yet?
I saw some numbers that it was up in sort of the high, well, getting towards 200 at one stage.
Okay, but that was during the process.
But that was quite early in the process.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I was quite sort of pleased to see those sorts of numbers that early in the process. So it
could easily double.
Yeah, it could easily double, and that would then give us a valued sort of, something of value to sort of say, well, we can base a decision on this.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess if you're going to get 100 responses, that's, you've tried, and yeah, that's what you can operate with, isn't it?
That's right. You're sort of hamstrung as that's what, yeah, you've got. That's the feedback. Everyone else is, I guess, basically happy with the ideas, and so you move on.
Yeah, and I think you'd be entitled to say, look, we did consult. If you missed it, you know, I'm sorry, but decision's been made. You might not say it quite that way. It's easy for me to say because I'm not fronting it, but.
Well, I think you have to, because you've got to move on. You can't just sit there,
yeah,
and be a stalemate. You've just got to make the decision and say, well, hey, guys, if you missed out, that's not my fault. We made, yeah, it pretty obvious. The Wharf one, we had the boards up. We had all the signage up.
Oh, yeah, that one. If they missed that, they...
You know, and yet, yeah, yet we still only got 130 or 140-odd submissions overall on that.
Well, maybe it just wasn't too contentious.
Well, but... yeah,
but people,
well,
people would be happy either way.
Yeah, with that one, we were actually looking for ideas,
right,
for what your what people's thoughts were. And I guess on that one, Aaron, which we haven't touched on with the Whangarei Harbour study,
oh, yes,
is that a draft report's been done, is being put together at the moment. The project controls group, which is a few stakeholders and a couple of members of the community board, have had a review of that and made some comment along with some iwi members. That should be available, where are we now? Yeah, late this month. To go back to stakeholders as a draft report and to the community as a draft report to give it, for people to give us their feedback on what they think.
Okay.
And that's looking at, you know, connectivity in the harbour, walkways around the harbour, pontoons or other jetties around the harbour and things like that. And we've seen some good ideas. The people in Te Akau are pushing for a pontoon over their side, where their jetty is, and things like that. There's a lot of there's been feedback on more walkways around the foreshore, connectivity between the wharf and Lorenzen Bay, for example, along the foreshore. And things like that. So some really good ideas are coming out of that. But all I'd say is I'd encourage, when the draft report comes out, encourage people to have a good read of it and give us any feedback, further feedback they've got.
Yeah. Well, will this be an opportunity to solve, well, I don't know if we could ever solve it, but the big problem of parking for the boat ramps? In the last 10 years, that's grown and grown in importance, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's certainly been raised during this. I was trying to be non-confrontational.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has been suggested that on that eastern southern side, I guess, of the wharf, the Cox's Bay side, for the simplicity, that we reclaim some land. We look at dry storage, dry haul that area for the Coast Guard boat, so it's not sitting in the water all the time, which is, you know, a maintenance challenge for them.
Yeah, so some of the community's been suggesting that as a possibility.
Yep.
Yeah, and that does create debate, let's say.
Sure it will.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we want to look at reducing the congestion around the wharf area in the summertime, and that we need to look at somewhere where we can have parking.
Yeah.
And it's easy for some to say park at the rugby ground, but then you've got, you know, getting back to the wharf and things like that. And
people aren't really, though, are they?
No one's doing it at the moment. Everyone, myself included, parking up Wallace Street, right up to the Dog Pound and around that area, and things like that, or parking over at Papahuia, which is getting pretty congested now too.
So we need to
look at the big picture and sort of make some of those hard decisions that are going to sort of support the community over the next 20 or 30 years.
Do you think the introduction of a boat ramp fee will make a difference? I had been wondering aloud if the fact that boat ramp fees are quite common around the North Island, but we haven't got one, meant that we were getting more than our fair share of people coming over here. Do you think it makes it much of a difference?
No, I don't.
Because I don't know what the cost is.
Excuse me. No, well, the cost of a boat ramp fee is sort of, well, I think when you look at them, you can get a yearly subscription for $100 to use a boat ramp and things like that. I don't think it'll make any difference to the number of people that come to Raglan, because the ones in the centre of the North Island will either, they'll either go east or west depending on the weather. So if we've got easterly winds, they'll head out our way. If it's westerlies, they'll probably head to the east coast.
And we do have a bit of a reputation for having good supply of fish these days, don't we?
Well, the fishing here has been brilliant for the last couple of years. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
so you know, it's attracted a lot of people out here and things like that. So the boat ramp fees will be looked at, I believe, and I'm going to...
There's a bylaw coming, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm meeting with Caleb on Monday, but I believe there's a bylaw coming that will be reviewing boat ramp fees. And I've talked to some of the boating guys, and they've sort of, their indication is they're okay with the principle as long as the money goes back into maintaining the ramps.
Which makes sense. I had been wondering, and I think I got the answer, it wasn't really possible, but the solution to it would be a greenfield site somewhere in the harbour where you had, you know, you buy a piece of farmland and then there's unlimited parking. But the harbour is so, it's mudflats, you know, around most of the edge of it, so that doesn't seem...
There's not a lot of other places. There's only one other place I know where you could put a boat ramp into reasonably deep water off the harbour, and that's not going to be available because it's Maori land. So it's a matter of... And the other one was at Biarara Bay, but you would end up having to dredge that and things like that.
By the rugby grounds?
Yeah. And things like that. So, you know, there are some options like that, but they're probably harder ones to achieve.
Yeah, and we're not at that. We have to be at a serious level of crisis to contemplate trying to do something like that, wouldn't we?
Well, I think we need to start thinking longer term and just saying, you know, some of these hard decisions need to be put out there and started to be discussed so that, you know, before we get into a serious situation, we've actually got a solution.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the thing like with the kids' soccer fields, like, and you've been talking about that. Can we have some really long-term thinking about that? Because it is going to... You know, things are tight now, but eventually it's just going to bite us on the bum.
Yeah, give it another 5 years, and I'm under no doubt you guys will be struggling to, you know, have the kids there, and the way soccer is, and the way all sport is in Raglan, you tend to have all your teams play in Raglan one weekend and all your teams play out of Raglan the following weekend.
Yeah, you don't get a perfect 50-50 split from the people on the draw. That's certainly true, yeah.
You know, so I think we do need to be looking at what are the other options and things like that, and that's why, you know, I did moot with you the idea of Wanneroo Reserve. You know, we've got a huge asset up there that we need to look at what potential, or how can we use that potentially going forward.
Yeah.
For the community.
And it does save the council having to buy land,
yeah,
which I could see being the biggest impediment.
And then the question is, where do you buy land? You know, it's been suggested you buy it out at Tiuka and things like that. But
well, that might be the nearest piece of flat land otherwise, isn't it?
Well, it effectively is.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that really practical? Wanneroo Reserve is only a couple of kilometres away. Tiuka is 10 kilometres away. So for kids to go and play on the weekends and enjoy the park on the weekends and things like that, it needs to be within cycling distance of wherever they're living in Raglan.
Yeah. All right, well, it's good. I mean, I'm just pleased to be having discussions looking that far ahead. I think everyone needs to think about it rather than... Because the community does have a habit of, like, something needs to be done and suddenly council's got a plan and everyone hates it. So if we could all get involved in, like, thinking long term, I reckon that would be really awesome.
Well, I think it's the secret of the... You know, it is for the success of Raglan going forward, I think that's what we've got to start doing, having some long-term plans on what people envisage you could have in a bigger community, because at the moment, you know, we've got a huge amount of development going on, we've got other subdivisions coming on, so there's a whole lot of other things that come into play very shortly.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we've been talking to Dennis Amor, Deputy Chair of the Raglan Community Board. We started off talking about the wharf. Dennis, just remind us the next date that we can expect some news about the projects at the wharf.
Well, probably the end of June, early July. On the wharf itself, that's when the tenders will be awarded.
Yep.
So council will no doubt go public then and put out a notice saying this is who the successful tender is. But also we've got the Whangaroa Harbour study, which should become available as a draft by the end of the month.
Okay.
And then that's when we'll be looking for people to give us some feedback on that.
Okay, well, we look forward to talking about that on the morning show. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, we're going to have a little break, and then Natalie's waiting patiently here in the studio. We'll be talking careers after this.